Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I am your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I am on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Today, I got a really special one for you. This is somebody who I just recently met and come into contact with, and he is someone who I truly admire and really look up to. He had the profession in which I wanted to do when I graduated high school. I saw Black Hawk Down, it was around 9/11. All I wanted to do is join the military and become an Army Ranger. And today we have on the podcast Johnny L. Sasser from The Art of Masculinity. He is a former Army Ranger, and now he is on a different path sharing his story. And so I wanted to have him on to talk about the narrative of what hunting is and how it's viewed and how, more often than not, when it comes to a man or a person who sees himself as a provider, what does that really mean? And Johnny here is to redefine what masculinity looks like. And I want to have him on because I feel like the hunting community could use a voice like this and really gather more information, because knowledge is power and hunting has the power to transform your life through primal adventure. So, Johnny, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, brother. I really appreciate being on here, and I love that we have the same first name. So that already makes us a good match.
That's right. Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. I love it, man. No, thank you for the amazing intro. And I'm super humbled to be on here. And just to be able to share with your community, this is a really cool space to be in. And I appreciate you for what you're doing as the Soulful Hunter and bringing that light to it. Because a lot of guys, it's hard. I grew up in a community where, you know, I was very outdoorsy, and men were, we were all had lifted trucks. My dad was a mechanic and a lot of his friends were hunters. So we were out in the woods literally every week. I used to be mad at my parents because we'd be out in the woods every weekend, right? You're like, I just want to go hang out with my friends. But you end up developing this bond with the outdoors. You end up developing this bond with friends that are hunters, and the way that they see hunting, you know, and the way that they look at it as, you know, number one, there's like obviously population control of certain infestations of animals, right? That's what we talk about with deer, and even what I think Texas, it's boar, right? Isn't that one of them that kind of infests the area?
Yep.
So I understand that concept and total appreciation for it, but I appreciate the guys that go out there and like they're hunting and then using that meat year round. They're hunting and using the pieces of that animal. And there's a respect for the hunt, right? Like you look at, everybody looks at like Joe Rogan or Cameron Haynes. And I love these guys because they actually have that appreciation for the animal. And then they appreciate what they're getting from that animal, right? So that's a really cool way that I love to look at it. And by no means am I an avid hunter, so I don't want to paint the picture that I am. I've gone out a couple times, and I told you, brother, that it was more like nature watching for me.
Hiking with a weapon.
Yeah, hiking with a weapon. But I did practice and learn a little bit of the art of bow hunting, which I absolutely love and definitely want to get more involved in that style of hunting. I just have a deep appreciation for it. And that's kind of where I've started my hunting experience, but I have a lot of friends who are, so it's cool to be able to see that and understand their background with it, but also understand the reasons why they do it. And they're such givers too. I don't know that I've met a hunter that isn't willing to give me deer meat.
Yes. And I think that's one of the coolest things about being able to be a hunter, is to be able to provide for not only yourself and your family, but for your friends and community.
Oh, dude, so cool. And I've seen my buddy, he literally uses like every piece of the deer. And obviously you, as being an avid hunter, you know this, but it's obviously for different types of meals, you know, like he'll do chunk meat and then he does, you know, sausage, and then he does like steaks, and he creates a whole different like palette for each piece of the deer. And then he ends up storing that in a way that they can use it year round for different meals. So it's really cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I had the fortunate ability of actually, he taught me how to dress a deer too, which was really fun. So
nice, man. What'd you dress it up in?
And we had a tutu. It was a bow tie and a tutu. We wanted it to be a confused deer. Yeah.
It was like an evening attire.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
It was kind of like evening, but then it was formal, but it was also there to party.
Yeah. It's like a good mullet, you know. you never want to let it go to waste. All right, so Johnny, I introduced you a little bit as like a former Armory Ranger and all that, but really give the listeners your background and what led you to creating your podcast, your platform, The Art of Masculinity.
Yeah, brother. So obviously I'm a former Army Ranger. I did 4 combat tours in special operations, 3 in Iraq and 1 in Afghanistan. And then I hopped out of there and did another 5 years protecting the U.S. ambassador to Iraq out of Baghdad. So I spent almost about 10 years in and out of the Middle East. And that kind of was like, it was a shock, obviously, to the system, because I was actually 18 years old in my first deployment as an Army Ranger. And then I was a sergeant at around like 20 or 21. I was a sergeant and leading a squad of, you know, Rangers into battle. So that was like a really cool thing at a young age, but it conditions you to certain predispositions of how you think. And so when we look at how men think, you know, I love my brothers and we're such a tight community, but what people don't see about a lot of them is they're actually, yeah, they look at us as alpha males, but they don't see that a lot of these guys are really open to being a good man who's bringing other people up and not judging and not being this, oh, I'm macho, I'm better than you type guy. A lot of them, it's really cool, are very humble in their conversations and self-deprecating. And not saying that that's the measure of being this like true man, but there's not a lot of animosity unless they get pushed into a position that then they have to stand up for themselves. So a lot of that comes with confidence in different areas, but it also comes with the fact that these guys are also incredibly intelligent. We're not just pavement pounders. We're not just freaking knuckle draggers. Like, these dudes are, because we were elite, there's a whole level of intelligence there that doesn't really always get exposed to the men that I served with. And so when you look at this, you see, okay, like there's this alpha male, and I love having that background of being that alpha dude, of being, you know, the capability to lead at such a high level. But you also see a lot of toxic nature, and don't confuse this with toxic masculinity, because that is a term that I really don't like. I think that people abuse that, and they actually misinterpret what masculinity is, and it starts to be derogatory to an entire gender of the world. So it's not toxic masculinity. I've just seen toxic behaviors in guys where, when I got to doing protection, I saw a lot of guys really struggle when they came back home. I saw a lot of guys, they'd come back overseas and they'd be like, yeah, man, I'm freaking so happy to be home or be back here, because it was rough being home. They didn't know how to cope with being back into like quote unquote normal society. They didn't know how to interact with their wife or their kids. They didn't know how to interact with people that weren't from the same background. And it led them to really toxic behaviors, you know, drinking all the time, getting into bar fights, being confrontational with pretty much any and everybody, a lot of judgmental behavior. You know, I like to talk about like a little bit on road rage, because I think a lot of men just kind of have that. I know I do, and I did. And it's something that I work on. But you get even that road rage stuff, and that can cause problems. I've seen people like literally force somebody to pull over, and they've pulled a gun on them. And it's like, bro, you got to calm down. You can't do that kind of stuff. And so you see this toxic behavior, and I looked at it and I was like, man, I'm not far from that. So let me see what I can do to start changing this narrative of, you can be a man and you can be own your masculinity, but you can own your masculinity in a positive way to not only be better for the people around you, but to be better for the people who you support and the people who look up to you. Because at the end of the day, as men, you know, men are a big, regardless of what anybody wants to say, like you can go start talking about the patriarchy, right? And we can talk about the history behind that. But at the end of the day, men are a huge influence in society. And the more negative men that we have influencing future generations, the more negative men that we have influencing the narrative, the Weinsteins and the, you know, you look at the Epsteins and all these other people who are doing all this really bad stuff in the world. When we keep having them present the narrative for us, it doesn't do us any favors as men in society. It doesn't do us any favors as a gender throughout the world. And it doesn't do our children any favors as growing up to be positive figures. So I wanted to change that narrative and I wanted to have that open conversation about it. So that's where I kind of started.
I love it. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is when you're talking about masculinity and changing that narrative is the word vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the military, I'm sure if you're vulnerable, it means you're exposed to attack. But really, we need to shift that mindset of being vulnerable as being open for new things.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of strength in vulnerability. I actually have seen it in other people, but I've experienced it in myself. The more I'm willing to talk about the things that I hid or the insecurities I have, the more confident I actually feel in myself and my abilities. And not only that, when you start to open up that way, you get genuine support, which is another nasty word for men, but you get genuine support from people who just purely want to bring you happiness by being part of your journey. And so, you know, your brother is a great example of somebody who does that for a lot of different men. And when you open up to Lucas, Lucas provides this outpouring of nothing but strong support to make you realize the really good things that you have, the really good person that you are. And that builds so much more confidence in men. So there's a strength in that vulnerability.
You know, and it's interesting. It's like people need to shift their mindset because we're talking about the word support, not help.
Yes.
Help means somebody can't save themselves.
Yes.
Support means you are going to lend a hand or literally, I guess I don't even know how to redefine support other than by using the word, but like lift up.
I think I had a conversation about this the other day with a gentleman. And I think one of the things, the keys for support is that you're not always just sticking your hand out saying, give me, give me, give me. That's help, right? Like I feel like that's more of a definition of help. Give me, give me, give me, give me help. But support is like, hey brother, this is a rough time. Can you, provide something here maybe that can help me, and then I'm gonna help you in return, right? Or provide something here that can give me insight, and I have something to also provide you when you're down, right? Like a lot of times when we're preconditioning our brains for help, it's centered around always somebody like you said who can't give themselves or provide for themselves in the way that they need to survive. Whereas support, it's more of like, you know, think of a house, right? Like a house that's on stilts and you got four stilts. We'll say one starts to buckle, right? You got to get support to that corner or the whole thing can fall, but it doesn't necessarily need that support the whole time. Like you can actually piece that together. You can actually start to look at that and say, okay, there's different ways of providing support from this than me just fixing that one piece, that one beam. So there's like a lot more to support with men that we've painted as this nasty narrative. And trust me, I've had it too. So I'm not sitting here trying to tell people that they have this and I'm exempt. I'm not exempt either. This is one of the struggles I had, especially coming from the background that I had, was asking for support from other people, but not realizing that I had a ton to give them too. So that's that difference in that support piece. You realize there's a ton of value that you have to offer as well.
So we talk a lot about that in regards to like the mentorship of new hunters and just mentorship in life. You know, it's not so much that the person that you're mentoring can't do it on their own, but it's a lot easier when people join hands and join forces and they can do a lot more damage in pairs or in groups or in a community than they are than an individual out trying something on their own.
There is no special operations in the U.S. military that goes out on their own. I can promise you They're as a as just a one person. They go out with a team. It's a, it could be a small team, but there's a team. There's a team of guys working together to make sure that the job gets done at a highly efficient level. If it were more efficient to send them out on their own, we would have elite units that were like, oh, the one man dude that went out and, you know, killed Osama bin Laden. No, that's not what happened, right? Like, it's a team. It's a team of dudes that always is going out and creating the results that need to happen, but they're doing it with each other. They're doing it by supporting one another. And that's what it always is. And people forget that. They forget that there's a group there holding each other together and offering different skill sets. We don't have all the skill sets for everything, right? Like, we need to learn them and we need to be supported by others who may be more proficient in them. That doesn't make you any less of a man, though. That's where guys get really conflicted. We have this, it's the measuring of who can be the best in everything when you're never going to be the best in everything. It's just not a thing. I can I can take a guy that is incredibly good at bodybuilding, right? And he can lift a lot of weight and he knows how to sculpt his body and he knows how to diet right. But say I pluck him out of that environment and I go and plop him on the hill in DC and he's surrounded by a bunch of men who are talking politics and they're talking societal impacts for bills and things like that, or even the history of politics. They're talking all this stuff and they talk circles around him. He's now become, he's no longer the alpha male in that environment because their masculinity is not actually in bodybuilding. Their masculinity is in political intelligence. So
yeah,
it's a delicate balance, man. There's just a lot of conversation around it.
Totally. So let's talk a little bit about like the alpha life versus purpose and drive. So my whole shtick that I really stand upon is that people need to be intentful and purposeful with how they present themselves and how they show up in this world. If they want hunting to be something that lasts for generations to come, they want people to vote for the legislation that's going to help support it rather than detract from it, then they need to be ambassadors and advocates for it and really show love to mankind, to one another. Love is mentorship. Love is talking people through situations that they might not understand. Where is it that you take this alpha life mentality, knowing that you got out of the military and you're like, okay, some things are not working. I'm going to end up in a place where I'm not happy with or going to be very detrimental to me, and provide purpose and drive? And what was it that led you down that path?
That's a great question, man. And I would say as what I struggled with and what most men coming out of where I came from struggle with is that lack of purpose when you're taken away from the essentially the environment that created you as the man you are today or at that time anyways. And when you're taken out of that and you're put into this new environment where those skill sets and that identity is no longer serving you and there's no purpose at the end of it, you essentially lose everything that you are. And that's where men go into a lot of these toxic behaviors. But when we talk about that and that the importance of that purpose is, you know, understanding that, this is just like, there's so many pieces to this. I want to go down, but I don't want to like go down all. I want to start with the building blocks. The first piece is you have to give yourself 100%. If you're not taking care of yourself, which means your actual health and your brain, which means making sure that, you know, you're educated on the things that you're passionate about and you're knowledgeable on the things that empower you as a man and who you are as a man. When you don't have those things, you can't move out to a purpose. So that's the first thing, is you have to find what it is in you as a man that makes you show up as the best version of yourself. Once you do that, you can start to identify that purpose within you. And if that purpose is, say, for instance, hunting and stuff like that, you have to dedicate yourself to the importance, the practice, the positivity of it and the impacts of it. Like, if you're not well educated across the board, I always say look at both sides of the fence to really understand a situation. But you have to understand that to develop your purpose. And when you develop that purpose, then you're able to have that positive mentality that you're bringing to impact positive change, to maintain the positive function of hunting. You know, it's obviously, go ahead.
I love this. Yeah. I want to jump in here real quick because one of the things that I really want to do is redefine what a hunter is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that find their identity with, I am a hunter.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I am a provider. This is what I do. The problem is that more often than not, or sometimes can be the case, I don't know because I wasn't raised in a household which my father hunted or I was taught how to hunt. But a lot of the times hunting and the providing life, and I'm holding up my fingers in quotes right now, is an excuse for selfishness and an excuse for, well, I am providing food, but I'm not providing emotional support or intellectual support or, you know, love the way my children need or my wife needs. And I think that is where it's like hunting can be a mistress in people's mm-hmm. relationships. So where do you go around that?
Oh, that is a great conversation. And it's not just hunting though. This goes for, I've seen people do it with golf, especially in the DC area. You see a lot of men do this with golf, but hunting's a big one. People do it with fishing. People do it with a lot of things that take an abundance of time. And typically it's because I call it escapism. You're escaping from whatever it is that you don't want to actually confront in your life, which tends to be with men, a lot of insecurities or toxic relationships that they have. They don't want to confront their spouse and say, hey, we really need to talk. We got to talk about opening up. We got to talk about the issues we have. And a lot of times that falls on the men because we're not open about our emotions. We're not vulnerable with what's bothering us. So yeah, man, that's a really important piece because hunting can become that mistress. It can become that escapism. You have to look at the purpose behind why you're hunting. And I say this about everything, but when it comes to hunting, because it's a lot of hours that you're out there. You're usually getting up really early and you're out there for a half a day, especially if you get, you know, if you actually tag something. And then you have to, you know, dress it or carry it out depending on where you're hunting. You know, there's a lot of components to it that take up hours and hours of your day.
Yeah.
And that is taking you away from the people in your life that look at you as somebody they need around. So there's a lot of emotional support that you can get that you're not giving to your spouse. There's a lot of nurturing and social interaction that you're not providing to your kids. You're not providing them the social learning theory of what a positive masculine man is in this world. They're not getting that, right? So like, there's a lot of things that you're taking out of your life by escaping to that. So my first question to anybody that's doing that is I would say, look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is my reasoning for doing this? What is my why behind this? If it's strictly to provide food on the table because maybe you guys don't make that much money and it's a great way for you guys to save money throughout the year if you can get, you know, if you can get a couple things out there, you know, if you can tag a couple things out there, if you can get some game, right? Like, that's fine. Okay, like there's a purpose behind that that has a meaning to your family. But if it's there because you want to go drink beers with the boys and spend hours away from your family, well, now are you using that as an escape from reality? Are you using that as an escape? People do this with TV all the time. Is this your escape from the real life so you don't have to address the issues that you more than likely have been a creator in? You know, we have to really get to that.
We are the creator of our existence, right?
Absolutely.
Not like that. I'm not talking like God's not real, but we create each moment.
I can go down a whole science freaking rabbit hole for you on the effects of your perception on your environment, triggering your actual genetic response to the world. So yes, we are a firm creator of what is going on around us. And more than likely, regardless of whether men want to hear this or not, you're complicit in the negativity you're trying to escape from with whatever it is that you're using as that escape. So,
man, so true.
Yeah.
I've had that experience in my work life. Like, I'm in a toxic work environment, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm also a part of it. I'm creating this.
Yeah.
How do I get to change so that I create a healthy work environment?
Yeah. I think one of the most important things as a man I realized was 95% of your brain is on autopilot. And this is we're going to dive into science just for a second, because I'm a very logical person. And if you can show me science on something, I tend to like to follow that and say, okay, like, this makes sense to me. A equals A plus B equals C, right? 1 + 1 = 2. That makes sense for most men. So when you look at this and we talk about how the environment changes for us and how we create that environment as men, like, we are the way that we're looking at, you know, the impact of the environment on internally on who we are and what we're doing, that is so, so important. And when we look at the cells, even within our lives, it's even as an embryo within our mom's stomach, right? Like, the environment the woman is creating inside of there is actually affecting the genetic response to what that kid is going to come out with. So there's a huge effect that we don't give enough value to our perception in creating that environment, and then that environment coming back on us and changing the response within us.
This may be a little off topic, but I recently was thinking about, so I like to garden, I like to hunt, and I like to grow fruits and vegetables to provide for my family.
Love it.
And thinking about the whole concept about talking positive to plants. And how when you talk positive to them, they will produce like exponentially greater and become a healthier plant, tree, whatever it is. Have you ever heard something like that?
Yeah, actually, my wife and I just had this conversation not too long ago. And I'll give you this crazy story real fast, just a small one. But we have this plant. It's not a floral plant at all. It's just a strictly green plant. It had what's called a surprise bloom. And it came out with, all of a sudden, the stalk in one of the branches came out with this full-blown buds. I thought it was a fungus. We had to look this up. All of a sudden, they produced these balls of tiny, tiny, like, lily-like flowers, and they're incredibly pungent. Well, this happens when the plant is in a happy environment. It happens when the plant is having a, I swear to God, man, I'm like, what? This is nuts. My wife has a pretty big following. And she put this out, and she's got some people who are really, really, you know, into the, plant world. And they responded, they're like, that's a surprise bloom. It happens because of X, Y, and Z. And we're like, blew our mind. Cool. I was like, I've never seen.
Well, let's just take a 20,000 foot view of it. You put good out into the world, you get good back.
Yeah.
That's it. You put love out into the world, you get love back. You put your best into the world, you get the best back.
Yeah.
It's the circle of life.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it follows the laws of manifestation and laws of attraction. And for guys that don't think this is real, you think Johnny and I are going on some woo-woo stuff. I've seen it. I've seen this firsthand. I've seen my wife do it. I've seen numerous people who she's very close with do it. And I've done it in my life a little bit, not as to her efficiency, because I still have my own blocks to get through, my subconscious pre-wiring. But that's one of the keys that to life and to creating the happiness, because law of attraction and law of manifestation, these things, it's not just about positivity. This is the problem that I think people have. They think that it's woo-woo because it's, oh, you just think the world's made of unicorns and rainbows. No, it's also the effect of negative things in your life. So law of attraction, if you're constantly judgmental, if you're constantly negative, if you're constantly predicting the worst case scenario in every instance that you go into, guess what everything you're going to receive back is going to be? It's going to be negative. So you can attract all that stuff by pushing out that negative energy. So it doesn't work just one way. It works both ways. It's not prejudice against positive or negative. It's equal. So we have to remember, as men, especially guys that came from my background, guys that are in the hunter community, a lot of guys want to be like, oh, I plan for the worst case scenario because I'm a realist. Bro, yeah, okay, you can be a realist, but guess what? You're also receiving all the worst case scenarios. You're also receiving all the negative scenarios. You're also perceiving the world to constantly be in a negative state because you're constantly making up a potential solution to the negative situations. Now, don't get me wrong, this served me a lot really well in 10 years of my life. It served me very well. It kept me alive. But in the normal world, it doesn't do that. It actually...
Well, it's kind of like saving money for a rainy day.
Yeah, yep.
Well, it's going to rain then.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to rain and you're going to deplete those funds, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, just understanding that there's a huge effect even in that negative world.
Well, this is what I love. So using the word manifestation.
Yeah.
I'm huge on that. So I am sitting next to just... a beautiful 6x6 Washington bull elk that I shot on my very first time archery hunting.
Oh, cool.
Ever. And I remember, so that I shot it in September, but leading up in the month of December and January, I bought a treadmill and I was running on a treadmill and I was watching this archery YouTube series called Born and Raised Outdoors, Land of the Free series. And these guys are archery elk hunting. And I'm like, dude, this is awesome. I'm buying a bow. I'm shooting a 6x6 bull elk. I'm shooting a 6x6 bull elk. And it wasn't like I was a mantra to myself, but I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also spoke it out loud.
Yeah.
And I believe in speaking things to existence. And so every time I'd run on the treadmill, I'd watch this series and I'd be like, dude, I'm not just shooting a 6x6, but I'm going to shoot a symmetrical one that is just perfect. Stayed after it. I believed it. September rolled around and I shot an absolute perfectly symmetrical 6x6 bull elk that people are in awe of.
That's amazing.
And so that was like my first real
manifestation
of this is what I'm putting out in the world. I'm going to get it back.
Yeah. So there's two components to that. And the first is you envisioned, right? So you constantly watched guys do this and then you envisioned yourself into it, right? The second part of that is you embodied what it felt like to have that completed. You embodied the feelings. And when you combine those two things, you've just manifest whatever it is that you want. I haven't actually seen it turn out any different than that, which is really weird. So,
or really awesome.
Yeah. Well, I say weird because the skeptic in me wants to always say, okay, that's not the rule. But the problem is with my life, it's becoming the rule.
Right.
So now,
well, I do remember as a little kid, I remember being like, oh man, I've never had a cast. And then all of a sudden I'm breaking a bone and I'm in a cast.
Yeah.
Or I've never had this happen, and then it happens. Yeah. And but as my child brain, it didn't register to me. I didn't understand what was going on. And now it's like, okay, you better watch what you say because the words hold so much power, and you can't ever get them back.
When you have words combined with envisioning and feeling, there's a whole nother science behind the fact that your body cannot tell what is real and what is not if you trigger a chemical emotion within it through your brain, through your synaptic response, right? So when you embody that stuff, say of a broken arm, and you all of a sudden think it and feel it, your body doesn't know the difference. Your body reacts that way, and then you find yourself in a situation where that's the likely scenario, and you've just manifested it. And so that's, you know, it's a powerful thing, and you're absolutely right. You have to be careful of what you say, especially if you're somebody who has the ability to combine all those things at one time, because you're going to make it happen in your life for better or for worse.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put it into practice. I've really been envisioning myself arrowing a black bear.
Nice.
I am going black bear hunting this. Well, actually, I'm leaving tomorrow night for the weekend. My buddy and I, Tony, we drew special permits here for the state of Washington. We've been putting in for 5 years. And I was like, hey, I'm drawing this permit this year. And I was telling people, I'm drawing this permit. Sure enough, I got drawn. Dude. And now I'm like, okay, I really want to shoot one with a bow.
Yeah.
Tony is bringing a rifle. I will shoot one with a rifle if I need to. But, man, I really want to shoot one with a bow. And so I'm really trying to envision, yep, like how I'm going to go about this.
Envision it and embody. The important thing is embody the feeling that you will feel when you have that.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. And just feel that, and feel that after you envision what it looks like, and you will manifest. And you and I will probably have a text, bro, I just got the black bear. Was it bow or gun? You're going to be a bow.
Oh, dude. Oh,
it's going to be awesome, man. I love it. But yeah, man, it's so important. And I think guys, there's a lot of power in that for men. And when we get past the ego, and I'm not saying the ego, like, you know, it's always bad, but when we get past the 5% of our prefrontal cortex, our cognitive evaluation of life, when we get past that and we actually tap into what the 95% is behind that, you're able to experience a whole different world for yourself. And that's just what's really powerful for men. But we have a hard time getting past our chimpanzee brain and getting past that 5% of the prefrontal cortex. We have a hard time getting past that and getting to that, those neurological wirings that are going to help us experience life in a completely different way.
Yeah. Well, so I'm a PE and health teacher here in the state of Washington. And I'm always talking to people. It's like, you don't just pop out of the womb being able to like do 225 on the bench press, 3 sets of 10.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's something that you naturally have to work at. And if you don't work at it, you're never going to attain it. So when it comes to positive words, positive speech, intentionality, and manifestation, like, you have to truly be intentful and focus on it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And, you know, us men, we're really, really great at being our harshest critics. And we're really great at telling ourselves really negative things. So one of the things, I don't know if you've ever read Dr. Wayne Dyer, anything of his, but one of the things he talks about is be mindful of the I ams that you're telling yourself. When you say, say things, even so, even in your own conscious, when you're saying things like, I'm not good enough to have that house. I'm not the kind of guy that has that kind of truck. I'm not the dude that makes that kind of money to give my kids that Christmas. When you keep telling yourself those things, yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're not that guy.
You're going to live it out.
Yeah. You're not that guy. 'Cause you've just told yourself you're not.
You know, I actually have a contract with myself that I say out loud. I haven't recently been saying it daily. I need to get back into it. I used to actually write it. I had it written on my mirror. So every morning when I looked into the mirror, I would read my contract out loud to myself.
Wow.
And it is, I am a powerful, inspiring, loving leader. I am a powerful, inspiring, loving leader.
I love that.
So that is who I am. That's who I stand upon. And I know that wherever I go in this world, people want to know who I am. That's who I am. And that's how I get to show up, not just for myself, but for other people. When I'm lacking courage, when I'm lacking integrity, when I'm lacking whatever other traits that could be a negative towards me, I get to stand upon, I am a powerful, inspiring, loving leader.
I love that. And, you know, I want everybody to take notice that's listening to this right now. Johnny just said he gets to. He didn't say half. He didn't say need. He gets to. And it's important, the language we use, because that signifies abundance. That signifies happiness. That signifies potential. What it doesn't do is it doesn't put limitations. When you say I need, you're putting a stressful environment on your brain and you're creating a chemical response in your body triggered by those words of I need. When you say I have, it's because you lack. So I want everybody to really take notice into that Johnny said get, and he said it a couple of times, because that's so important, bro. Like, you just said something that most people would overlook, but your mindset is so positive, especially, you know, with the life that you've had and where you are now. your life is so positive because you use that type of language. So that's really cool.
Well, everything shapes us. I really appreciate you picking up on that because I am blessed. I am blessed to be able to do this. I'm blessed to be able to talk with you right now. I'm blessed to be able to go hunting this weekend and just, you know, enjoy life to the fullest.
Yeah.
You know, to truly live, you know, mm-hmm. William Wallace and Braveheart.
Yeah.
You know, every man dies and not every man truly lives.
Yep. Yeah, man. One of the best lines. I think every guy can pretty much say that that's one of their favorite lines from any movie. But
so true.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's turn it back. I was poking on your website a little bit, and you run a program called Where Wild Men Grow.
Yeah.
Ironically, instantly in my head, I'm like, oh, dude, the outdoors, duh.
Yeah.
You want to know where wild men grow? They live in the wild, finding themselves, finding who they are in creation, connecting themselves with the earth, with their creator above, and everything gets in line.
Yeah.
Now, that was just me applying my instant thought upon it. Mm-hmm. What is Where Wild Men Grow?
So Where the Wild Men Grow, I actually took it from a book called Iron John. Well, I didn't take the title. I took Iron John is based. I think it was the late 80s, maybe early 90s. It was one of the first like masculine books about men and their ties to, you know, the ties to men and kind of their boy, their adolescence, and then who the man is, the king, right? Becomes the king. But it talks about the wild man. And the wild man in the story, it's actually from a Brothers Grimm story that Robert Bly derives this whole book from. And the wild man is where the boy meets this wild man, and then the boy, and I'm synopsizing, and this is written much better in Robert Bly's book, but anyways, the boy meets the wild man. Well, the wild man is covered in hair and he's out in the forest and he's at the bottom of this lake, right? And he comes out and he meets the boy and he and this boy have this interaction. And then the boy eventually, you know, leaves the woods. And the wild man says, if you come back or I'm kicking you like out, but if you ever need anything, you come back and ask me and I will provide. And so it goes on that this story has a lot of different learning points in it. But I loved the fact that the mentor for us men was the wild man, because I think that there's a power in that. That's why men love to talk about being the lone wolf, right? It's that wild, fierce, ferocious hunter that's out there. That's the leader of the pack, right? But the wild man teaches us patience, and he teaches us that masculine has its own beauty if you're willing to look at it, if you're willing to face it. And so I loved the power of that character within the book and the way that I see the wild man in my own life, because I think until you come into contact with that wild man, there's many men who never do in their entire life. They become products of a politicized environment and somebody who is following groupthink throughout their life and never actually finding individuality. And the wild man shows us, when you confront that wild man within you, when you confront that real man who is the one that's all of your inhibitions, all your glory, all your progress, all your achievements, all your goals, when you embody that and you find that guy and you're able to talk to him, all your fears, all your insecurities, that's where you become the true man that you want to be and the best version of who you are. And when you can,
that's so cool.
And that's where I based that name around. So anyways, it was a really, and I highly recommend anybody to go read that book. It'll have a different meaning for everybody. It's a really cool one by Robert Bly.
I love it.
Yeah, it's called Iron John. It's called Iron John.
But, okay. Yeah. I'll have to go check that out. Add it to the list. So one of the things that just blows me away with society is the lack of purpose for knowledge. People are lazy or just ignorant to learn and find knowledge on their own. How often will people ask Siri or Alexa or any other electronic device for an answer to a question and they'll just take it for what it is. No one actually is with the owner of their own knowledge. Mm. And I think that is where the power of the wild man comes from, is that the wild man had to figure it out on his own. Mm-hmm. The wild man went through trial and error, went through times of toughness and droughts, but through it all, thrived.
Mm. Yeah.
And I apply that to the hunting and the mentorship aspect also. Is like, I can give you everything you need, but until you actually dig into it on your own, you're never going to be fulfilled. Mm. Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime.
I had my wife's grandfather, he's 95, World War II vet. He said, give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he has to buy a lot of gear.
Yeah, teach a man how to hunt, he has to buy a lot of gear also.
Yeah. But no, you're right, man. There's a power in that. And I think the wild man, to your point, in my personal opinion, I am an avid outdoors person, and I've found my deepest conversations with myself there. And there are studies as well, scientifically, that show the power that you actually can get from simply touching your actual bare skin to earth. And there, it actually can help you sleep as well, which is really interesting. But there is scientific evidence for all this stuff. And there's a power for men to grow in that wilderness. There's a power for you to step away from everything else that's bothering you and to look inside and to see not only the man that you are, but also how you became him and where you want to go. I had a guy on my podcast, Calvin Wayman, and he talked about, he challenges most people, and he actually mentors people in this, but to basically take a day or take a few days, whatever it is, and lock everything up in your car, no phone, nothing, and literally set yourself out in the environment that does not distract you. So mine is the mountains. Yours may be the beach, right? It may be a beach home, but taking yourself completely out of an environment that can affect your mentality, and you step away from everything. And he's like, after just a couple hours, you feel different. There's a different conversation you're having. You've gotten through the mindless chatter in your own brain, and now all of a sudden you're having conversations you never thought you would have had with yourself.
Oh, totally. So there's a few things I want to say to that, and then we got to wrap up this podcast.
Yeah, brother.
This has been amazing, and the time has just flown by. For me, personally, I found who I was in the backcountry. Mm. The backcountry is where I really looked inside. And a part of what the backcountry provides is like what you were saying, is lock up everything in your car and just go. When you have nothing else except your own thoughts, you really figure out what makes you tick.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also the power of why doing like ultra marathons or running for a long time.
Yeah.
If you leave the headphones at home and literally just go run, and you have nothing else to think about except what's in your head, it'll really sharpen you and identify strengths and weaknesses that you get to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just so incredible. You are an inspiration, Johnny. I really appreciate
Thank you, brother.
With your message. I appreciate what you're doing for men, but for mankind. You know, your dedication towards inspiring men to identify their masculinity is also going to help the wives, the women in this world, mm-hmm. the daughters that grow up having daddy issues, all sorts of stuff. So the ripple effect is real, and you're creating it each and every day. And I want to thank you for that.
I appreciate that, brother. And that means a lot to me.
Heck yeah.
I love being able to support people in this way, just seeing from close friends of mine how that can be turned really negative for the people around them and for themselves. So I feel honored to be able to do this, and I feel honored that people like you and your brother and the other people in the community respect me enough to have me on the podcast and to support their communities as well.
Absolutely. Freedom on. Let's go.
Yeah, brother.
All right. So give all the listeners your information. How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah.
Where can they find all of your content at? Do you have any classes that you're offering or one-on-ones or what? Lay it all out for everyone. We'll make sure we add it in the show notes, but so they hear it from you first.
Yeah, brother. I appreciate that. And I do. So I have the Art of Masculinity podcast, which is a lot of fun. And I have that. You guys can find that anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. I do have a course going on, but we just closed it. It's called Where the Wild Men Grow. It's an 8-week course. And on my website, johnnylsasser.com, there's all the details of what we go through on the course. I do have one-on-one coaching, and I offer that essentially as like an open cart, but it is like an application thing. I just want to make sure that guys that are really doing this are going to put in the work and they're going to do it for the right reasons. And I want to make sure that we're influencing the best version in them. So I do have that. And you can find me at johnnylsasser.com. You can find me on IG at johnny.lsasser. I'm the Art of Masculinity on Facebook. And if you ever need anything, either DM me or you can shoot me an email, johnny@johnnylsasser.com. I also have a contact page on my website. If there's anything you need help with at any time or any information you want or even just something to spit my way and have a conversation about, I'm always open to that and personal emails. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. So listen to a couple of your episodes that you've done. You always ask people, what's your spirit animal?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like it's appropriate since this is a soulful hunter.
Oh,
what is,
man,
it?
I feel like my spirit animal, it definitely has to be, I'm an avid Nat Geo guy, so I know so many different animals, but I love the, probably a mix between like the jaguar and the tiger, but possibly just more so the tiger. They're beautiful hunters, and not many people know this, but the way that they're even, they've evolved as animals is they actually put there's only two paw prints. So they always put their second paw in the exact same spot that their front paw was in. So they're incredibly stealth, brilliant hunters and just beautiful creatures. And tigers, there's no stripes are the same on any tiger. And they're so adaptable. The Indian tiger can swim incredibly well, which people are not very aware of, the Bengal tiger. And so just really cool things, but I love the tiger, man. It's definitely been an animal I've always loved since I was a kid. And I feel it resonates with my soul for sure.
I dig it. So you fancy yourself a cat man?
Yeah, man. Cat man.
I love it. Johnny, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Everybody, go check out what Johnny is offering, because if we can heal our own hearts and really invest in our own lives, what we give out to the world is going to change it. And you can't outgive good, which you've heard me say multiple times on this podcast. Everyone, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Go check out Johnny and what he does. As always, stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com. And be sure to follow the podcast, as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.